somebody sing? You don't matter. Well, come on up here and sing then. You want to come sing? Brother Joe will sing with you. Brother Joe Owens, he'll, no, he'll sing with you. You want to sing?
I'll stand up there with you.
No, come on. All right. Amen. We've had a lot of fun. It's a blessing all the way around.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ty.
All right, thank you, sir.
We're at home here.
All right, amen. All right, yeah, he told me last night that, you know, that y'all were the only church in America that still started at 7, and he knew that I had a long ways to go to drive to get home, and that so y'all had got together and talked about it and decided y'all just keep it at 7 o'clock. And I didn't bat an eyelash. I said, thank you so much. And he seemed shocked. I said, thank you for being consistent. So appreciate your faithfulness. Don't change nothing on my account. At lunch, he started, you know, trying to poke at me with it again. And starting at 7 o'clock. I didn't crack a smile. I said, look, I'm just about whatever's best for all y'all. And I said, how about starting at 8? Would that work better for y'all? They were both shocked. Him and Sister Anderson were shocked. And Sister Anderson real seriously said, I don't think that'll work. So I said, okay, what about 9? Would that be better? They said, we'll just keep it at 7. So, you know, I do camp meetings. There's two preachers, an hour singing before the first one, an hour singing in between them before the second one. And get out 10, 11 o'clock at night and go get in the car and drive 11 hours home, only stop to get gas. It's only 8 hours from here to my house. So, you know, this is no problem to me. Y'all don't worry about me. I'm good to go. And so I know it's going to aggravate your pastor to no end, but I'm going to say it just for that reason. And on Sunday night, we start at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. And the reason we do that is so that we can get two services in on Sunday and not one on Sunday and one on Monday. Now, I don't mind having a service with y'all on Sunday morning and then having one on Monday morning. But you do understand it is Monday, right? You read Genesis 1. It's Monday. God told you. 6 times in Genesis 1. This is how this thing works. The evening and the morning make up the 24-hour day. You go anywhere in the eastern world, at 6 p.m., you start a new day. We meet at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings in our church because I like to get two services in on Sunday. Because at 6 o'clock, it's Monday. So look, I love to start the work week with y'all right here on Sunday night. That don't bother me. I like preaching on Sunday and I like preaching on Monday. It's all good to me, amen? So thank you for the good singing. It's always just wonderful. You got great, great musicians and great singers. And of course, you always sing great songs. And I'm sincerely grateful for that. And the room over at the Fredonia. Certainly the Fredonia is not free. And so thank you for the good lodgings and, of course, all of the good meals. Very grateful for that. And, of course, the very, very, very generous love offering. We're very grateful, Jenny and I. Certainly don't take it for granted. It's more than we deserve. But we do take it with great gratitude, thanksgiving to God and to all of you. And so we pray that the Lord will bless you for your kindnesses to us. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And I've been talking about it is what it is. And I've just been giving you some real simple words. Words like God and words like woman and then the word man. And I have said about these words that it is what it is. God is what God is. And a woman is what a woman is. And today, this morning, I started talking about a man is what a man is. And so I want to read again tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, verse number 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. In verse 13, Paul says, quit you like men. It's a quotation from 1 Samuel 4 and 9. My title is, do you think you're man enough? The couple of times, this will be the third time I have preached this, a couple of times before when I have asked that question, do you think you're man enough? There's always some males that bark out pretty proudly and say, amen, yeah, to which I say, we'll see. We'll see. We're having a manhood crisis in this country. A man eating lion would starve to death if he were in America. 85% of people who are in prison grew up without a father in their life and home. 85% grew up without a father in their life and in their home. They say we have a terrible crime problem in America. We don't have a terrible crime problem. We have a terrible man problem in America. They say, how are we going to reduce overcrowding in the prisons, prison population? Men would be men again. Brother Eddie works in the prisons. He'll tell you, if men would just be men again, we could reduce prison population by 85%. Amen. 85% of children in this country that suffer from mental, emotional, and behavioral problems are children growing up without a father in their life and in the home. People say, what in the world is wrong with all these kids today, these kids? Kids are worse than they've ever been before. Kids are just so wicked and evil and terrible. We don't have a kid problem. We have a man problem. If we had some real men in this country, our kids wouldn't be in the shape that they're in. I want you to notice a few things here in 1 Corinthians 16 about what it means to be a man. What is a man? And the things that I'm going to say, my points tonight, are going to be very profound. So if you have a pen and a piece of paper, you might want to write these profound thoughts down and go back and study on them and meditate them on them a little bit further beyond tonight. So here's the first profound thought that I have tonight. Number one, a man is not a woman. I know that's deep. I know that's very deep, profound. But that's big point number one. A man is not a woman. The word that Paul uses, quit you like men. The word for men in verse 13 is an interesting word. It carries two ideas in its meaning. The first idea is the idea of masculinity rather than femininity. Paul is specifically using a word for men that is not a general word for males or a general word for mankind or the human race, as is the case sometimes in the Bible. This particular word that he uses here is a word that means to be masculine rather than feminine. So Paul is saying here in this passage that, number one, a man is not a woman. If we're going to do something to solve this manhood crisis in America, it's going to start by some males understanding that a man is not a woman. And males need to quit acting like a woman and thinking like a woman and feeling like a woman. Now, if you're a woman, it's okay to be a woman. I think we established that last night. Amen? It's good. But men and women are different by design. And God designed women in 1 Peter 3 and 7 to be the weaker vessel. It doesn't mean that she is mentally weaker than a man. It is certainly a reference to her physical makeup. Women are different physically than men, and women are different emotionally than men. Women have feminine hormones that men don't have. Women have more estrogen than a man, and a man has more testosterone than a woman. And God has so designed a woman so that she is more emotional than a man is. It's perplexing to me, Brother Anderson, why so many men act like women. And not just act like women, but why so many men react like women. I'm not one of those guys that gets up and makes fun of, light of, women being emotional, being sensitive. Some men think overly sensitive. That's the way that God has made a woman. But I do get up and make light of men who are overly sensitive, that wear their feelings on their sleeves and get their feelings hurt like a woman does. I don't care what they're saying in this particular administration of government that we have in this country. You don't need to put tampons in the boys' bathroom.
Amen.
It's okay for a woman to get emotional when she's on her period because she has a reason to be. But I just want to state it, and you know, I don't care who likes it or don't. Males don't have periods, and they don't get pregnant, and they don't need tampons in the boys' bathroom, and they should not be as emotional and sensitive as a woman. Got too many guys. They just get there. I've had to deal with some pastors that get their feelings hurt like a woman does. As sensitive as a lady is. I've had pastors say, "You hurt my feelings." And I said, "No, I didn't. I hurt your ego." What are feelings? Are you a woman? Why no? Then quit acting like one and be a man. Males need to quit growing their hair out like women. 1 Corinthians 11 says that. Men need to quit putting highlights in their hair and paint on their fingernails and their toenails. And they need to quit shopping at the Gap and Old Navy and Aeropostale and get over to Bass Pro Shop and Tractor Supply. They need to get out of their mama's jewelry box and over into their daddy's tackle box and toolbox. Get them rings out of your ears and out of your nose and out of your face. Get all that jewelry and all that pink and gold and silver off of you and act like a man. I know it's funny, but it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And people think, well, the Christian thing to do is just be tolerant of that. Just be accepting. We're changing. You know, times, they are a-changing. Well, folks, this is a part of the crisis. This is the reason for the collapse of the family. The endangerment of the children and the destruction of the nation. A man is not a woman. Number two, here's my second deep and profound thought about being a man. Not only is a man not a woman, but a man is not a boy. I said that word for men, you look it up in the Strong's Concordance there in verse 13, quit you like men, has two shades of meaning, one of which is that of masculinity contrasted with femininity. the other of which is maturity contrasted to immaturity.
Yes.
Paul specifically uses a word for men here that carries the idea of one who is a male that is masculine and mature. Masculinity and maturity. See, you can be a male and not be a man. Takes more to being a man than just being born a male and then reaching a certain age. To be a man, a certain measure of maturity has to be reached. Because a man is not a boy. Now, if a male is still a boy, it's okay to be a boy. There are some small boys in this service, and that's okay to be a boy when you are a boy. But there has to be a point when a boy becomes a man. And about 60 years ago in this country, we created a mythological state of existence that has never existed in the history of the world in any society, nor is it recognized in the Bible, and I'm referring to the myth of adolescence. About 60 years ago, we decided that two paradigms for human life was not enough, childhood and adulthood. We decided there needed to be a gap of existence between childhood and adulthood, and we called that adolescence. So what we said was, is when you hit 12 years old, you stop being a child and you become an adolescent, and an adolescent or adolescence is an extended and indefinite period of time. We know generally when it begins, but no longer sure when it ends, and are convinced in this state and stage of adolescence that this is the time for young people to have a lot of fun, play a lot of games, spend a lot of time with friends, go through high school, go to college, stay in college as long as you can, 8, 10, 12, 15 years, who knows, make a career out of, not costing you any money, have all the fun that you can for as long as you can, because there'll be plenty of time to grow up and take responsibility for your life down the road. So the statistics in America is that men or males who are at the age of 30, 75% of them have not yet reached maturity but are stuck in this mythological trap called adolescence. 75% of males in America are not married, they are not husbands, they are not fathers. 75% of men aged 30 in this country do not yet have a full-time job, do not have a place of their own, do not buy their own clothes, their own food, but are still living with and off of their parents and their parents' dime. 75% 30 years old in this country. You want to know why? Because they're stuck in this mythological state of adolescence. They were told there was no hurry to grow up, no hurry to become a man. They could worry about that down the road. That life is just about having fun and hanging with friends and playing video games and surfing the internet and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. They started doing that when they were 12 years old, and when they're 30, they're still doing that. And their mama and daddy still paying their way and just not quite sure what to do with them. Well, I could help you out with that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, a man is not a boy. And we got too many boys in this country that can shave, and we got too many boys in this country with barbed wire tattooed around their arm, and we got too many boys in this country riding around in a jacked up, souped up four-wheel drive thinking that because they can grow a beard and get tattooed around their bicep and a big jacked up four-wheel drive truck, that makes a man out of them, but they're still living like little boys.
Yeah.
Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, in Paul's understanding, by inspiration and revelation of the Holy Ghost, there was a time when he was a child and then a time when he became a man, and there was no time in his life in between those two points. A man is not a woman, and a man is not a boy. And we got too many males way past due that are still acting like little boys. Most of the young men in the churches I'm in throughout this country, I'm talking about guys in their 20s, are not married. Most of them do not have a full-time job. Most of them are still living with their mom and their dad, and they're trying to figure out what to do with their life. I try to help them with it as much as I can. And I tell them, here's what you need to do. I know what the will of God is. You do? Thank you. We've been struggling with it. We just have no idea what the will of God is for our life. I said, God sent me here to tell you that His will for your life is to get a full-time job, work hard, get a place of your own, marry a woman, start a family, be a husband and a father, and serve God faithfully in a local church. That's the will of God for your life. Thank you very much. We're not even taking up another offering. A man is not a woman, and a man is not a boy. Now, here's my third profound thought. A man is not a wuss. Now, look at verse 13 again. I've tried to do a word study on the word men. He says in verse 13, watch ye. What is a man? What is a real man? He's somebody that's watching. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. That means that they stand up for something. They take a stand on some things. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Now those three phases, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, and be strong, is clearly describing a male, a man, who is not a wuss.
Amen.
Got too many males that are plenty old enough to stop being a doormat, a pushover, a wimp, to grow up backbone and start developing some real convictions about things, wherein they stand immovable, not being pushed around, but standing for those convictions and being strong like a man. We just got too many males that are just absolutely weak and pathetic. They're wusses and sissies. Too many Peter Pansies running around, little fairy-like fellas. They got no grit, they got no determination, they got no heart, they got no courage at all. They're afraid of trying anything that's hard. Say to some of these young guys, you know, well, what about the wives? Too hard. Why don't you quit being a wuss and try to do something hard?
Amen.
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 Quit wimping out at everything that challenges. I mean, a part of being a man is liking and accepting that life is full of challenges. too many guys. They just wimp out. Anything that's difficult, they just pout and they sulk and, you know, they go whining to their mama. And if they are married, you know, they just whining to their wife. And, I've told some women, don't marry that guy. Why not? Because he ain't looking for a wife. He's looking for a mama. If you marry that guy, you're going to be his mama for the rest of his life. What in the world business did Samson have every night laying his head on Delilah's lap like a wuss? Everybody said, well, old Samson, boy, wasn't he, wasn't he? Yeah, he's a big wuss. He could whoop 1,000 men and then whip by every woman that he ever tried to relate to. Don't be a wuss. I use that language in the pulpit. Some people find it shocking. I knew it wouldn't shock y'all because I done heard your pastor say it from the pulpit. Now, that was point number three anyway. Wasn't going to matter to me, but I knew I was in good company. So a man is not a woman, and a man is not a boy, and a man is not a wuss. And here's my last point about what it means to be a man, and that is a man is not a jerk. Amen. Verse number 14, he's still talking to these men. And he says, let all your things be done with charity. Charity. And, of course, that word charity carries the idea of love, but it's more than just love, general love. That's that charity in the Bible's love on steroids. That's that God kind of love. Some men's idea of being a man is equated with being a jerk, and so you're not a man unless you're a jerk. I mean, their whole vision, their whole concept of being a man is, you're not one, and unless you're just this big jerk to everybody all the time, just a jerk. Well, a real man is going to watch. He's going to be on guard. He's going to stand fast, and he's not going to be a pushover. He's not going to be a doormat. He's going to be strong. He's going to have some strength, a fortitude and character. He is not a coward, but he's not a jerk either. And there's some guys out there always trying to prove that they're a man by being a jerk to everybody else, especially being a jerk in a way that they are a bully and intimidating to everybody around. Some guys, they got the idea that the way to be a real man is to bully their wife around. Talk down to their wife and embarrass their wife. Some guys have the idea that the way to be a man, to keep his woman in line, is to smack his wife around. I've been in some churches and some pastors have said, I got this guy in my church and, he beats on his wife some and she'll come and tell me. And what do you think I need to do? I said, how many times has happened? Several times. I said, shame on you. Yes, sir. What do you mean? What do you need to do? First time this happened, you ought to call the law. You ought to have done everything in your pastoral power to see him arrested. Yes, sir. So what do I do if I call the law and they don't do nothing about it? I said, now here's the second thing you need to do. If the law don't do nothing about it, y'all need to take that fool out behind the church, have a men's meeting, and let all the men in the church do to this idiot what he's doing to his wife. I mean, some of these guys got the idea, I'm a real man if I can get in the octagon, if I join the UFC, I'll become a cage fighter. That'll make a real man out of me. Some of these guys got the idea, you know, I just don't know how to become a man. I'll join the military. And I'm for joining the military and have great respect. And I mentioned how my grandfather's in the military, but I've had men in my church in the military, and I preach at a number of churches around the country close to military bases with military men in it. And some of the military men that I've spent many hours counseling with their problem tell you right quick, the only reason they're in the military is because they need to be in a structured environment that tells them when to go to bed and when to get up, what to eat, prepares their meals for them, washes their clothes for them, lays the clothes out, says that's what you need to wear. They just need a military to be their mama. Now, just because you can shoot a gun, just because you can do hand-to-hand combat, you know, just because somebody's got big muscles and you know, tattoos of demons and devils and skulls, all that don't mean they're a man. Might just mean they're a big jerk. Real man's not somebody that mistreats his wife. A real man is not somebody that has a bad day at work, and so he comes home and screams and hollers at his kids to take out his frustrations at work on somebody other than the people at work, so he's abusive and a jerk to his children. Real man's not somebody that treats his wife and children like they're his pets. Real man's not a guy that's always looking for a fight. And all, you know, some guys, some men, they got to be mad at somebody all the time about something. Amen. Well, you know, it's chip on my shoulder and this rotten attitude I got. That's what a real man is. No, it ain't. That's what little boys do on the playground. A real man is not a woman, he's not a boy, he's not a wuss, but he's not a jerk either. Real men are to do all their things with charity. With charity. Are you man enough? How you doing with the man test tonight? Let's stand together for prayer, and the pastor can come.
Let's have our musician come. Let's have our song director. We're going to get ready to sing it.